Thank you, Lord, that your plans and purposes shall be accomplished. Thank you, Lord, that we live under an open heaven. And thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and we're glad in it. And we thank you that you are giving us our marching orders and our directions. And you are giving us a release, a greater release of your incredible love, your Father's heart, your love. It just invades the deepest places, the darkest places, the places where fear and shame may think they can hide. But Father, there's a reversal today of the very things that keep us from walking as children of light and children of glory and children of faith in the fullness that we so desire, and better yet, that you desire for us. And we celebrate the truth, Lord God, in this house that says that it shall be because it is finished. We thank you, Lord, that you indeed are the Lion of Judah, and there is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper or can. And we thank you, Lord God, that any chaos shall be holy chaos of love and nothing but that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your divine order. Thank you for your alignment. And thank you, Lord, for your prophetic release of that which you desire to accomplish today and throughout the ages. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Ohio. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our families. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this city, in this region. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the United States of America, the place where there is freedom that will reign as it was well intended by you before the beginning. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much in this season, Lord, that as we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, that our eyes are really understanding and our ears are pricked to what you're saying in the now, in what you're telling us right now, what that now looks like to us. Oh, we are so loved by you. That the revelation of that love would capture us to the depths of our being. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Father, as we say yes to recognizing the seasons that we are in and the dimension of grace that you have revealed to us this morning, and even in this season that we are stepping into in greater capacity and measure with our faith, Lord, we're opening our hearts to hear what you're saying to us. What you're saying to us. Oh. The Lord wants to remind us right now that whenever a great move of God is on the horizon, that which would like to steal, kill, and destroy and take from us would tend to rise and squeeze in any fear or any form or any fashion. And in this season, if there was ever a season to need and decree and believe and receive and walk in God's raw power, it's now. The Lord says, I am here. I am here and I'm doing a new thing. And that new thing is for you right now to take you to a place where the resonating raw power and authority of God moves in our hearts so deeply that we become contagious and that people want to be close to us. We are really people who change and shift the atmosphere because of that raw power. Paul says, I did not come with persuasive words, with my own agenda, he's saying, but the power and the demonstration of the Spirit, the raw power of God, the raw love of God. He says, my love is raw. That means it's undefined, it's uncontained. We can't understand it. We can't really get a full grasp. We can experience that. Today is the day of great encounter. From the throne of God, I hear that today is the day of greater encounter than ever before. And with that encounter will come an increase in discerning of spirits to be able to see what is happening in the spirit and say yes and say no. And when there's a yes, we agree with heaven. And when we say no, there's also an agreement with heaven. And what the Lord desires and declares and says that it's for our portion today is to live in a land of blessing, to live in the culture of blessing, And we are called to release those blessings with the authority and the raw power of heaven, and to walk in that and contend for those blessings. Where have blessings been stolen? When the Lord's releasing, the enemy is right on our heels, saying, if you don't recognize the giver of the blessing, I have the right to come in and steal. I believe that this is a time where the Lord is going to raise inside of us an incredible increase in appreciation, in gratitude, and thankfulness. How? When I was listening to a testimony of a person whose son perished in a bathtub this week and was raised back to life, and I was listening to this testimony, I was so reminded of my own life. My own life could have been snatched away by the devil very quickly. But the Lord said no. Our Father in heaven said no. The raw power of God came. The raw love of God came. We joined together. We saw what was happening. And we said, no, not on my watch. And the Lord says, that is an amazing miracle. Amazing. Amazing. And that I'm alive today to stand here and speak to you. And if I ever take that for granted, God forbid, say, oh my Lord. I don't want to risk the attitude of gratitude in my heart to be diminished, because I won't see my Papa in the way he wants to be seen and felt and encountered. This is a season to express and continue to receive more and more from the Lord in the area of our thankfulness, our thankful hearts, area of gratitude. You know, we hear Jesus is the reason for the season, and we do our plays and we do our songs. And we do. Glory to God. The Lord says, do you understand that it's about me this whole season, this whole world, your whole life? The reason that you can breathe, as I was reminded, I can actually fog a mirror. I heard that and I just laughed. I went, I know what it's like to not have that breath. I know what it's like to say, okay, I'm dying. I'm dying. So what will you do? No. And have you and have my children speak into me, even when my spirit, my physical part, I should say, was down, and my spirit man was alive, saying, mother, fight, mother, stand and receive and walk, and you will live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. My children did that. I don't even remember, but inside I do. The very core of who I am does. Oh. And when he said to me the words, when I said, Papa, what is happening? And he said, you are dying, but you will not die. You are dying, but you will not die. Can you imagine hearing that? That's what our Father in heaven said to me. You are dying. Do you know what it means when you are dying? And Father says it. He says, you are dying. Oh, but you will not. Oh, I'm so grateful. See me as your Papa, as your Daddy. Not just get a word, but to live under the embrace that I am your Father. And from the very beginning, I created you to be my son and my daughter. And if you don't know that, if you don't walk in that, you partner with the liar. It's really that simple. Lord, I need the simplicity, the revelation today that I will choose to not partner with the liar that says that I don't have a home, that you are not my Papa, that you are not my protector, that you do not care for me, that you are not my all-sufficiency, that you are not the great I am in every part of my life, in every sector of my world, in every sphere of influence that I have. Hey. And I was thinking about the raw power today. And last night, through this week, and I was thinking about the wedding that we were doing, which was wonderful, 2 nights ago. And with Jamie and Mike being married and coming together. And the Lord was speaking to my heart before that. And He was saying, what I want them to see, these precious children of mine, is that I am in charge. But it's a love charge. It's a love charge that they would not walk through their married life with a love deficit. That they would have a love surplus. How? Always. And that would change everything in their life. From their first night on, through the honeymoon, through the rest of their life. Love surplus, not love deficit. Oh. So what do I say? What do I do? Just speak my words of love and let my power come down. Let my power be felt and seen. Could see angels. Jesus showed up. This is God. This is raw power. Could see gold along the ceiling in the top. The whole atmosphere was golden. And I could see the gold coming down. How? That's fun. Before He released the children, I want to show you a clip from Rajahmundry, India. And then the kiddies, our kiddies, can see it. And then they can go to their class. And this is our Frontline Ministries International Children's Home. And the children think of themselves, or have thought of themselves, as orphans. But our Papa says, no, they belong to me. And your role is to help see that my nature and my love is revealed to them. That they would come to see me as Father. Father. They would grow up and see me that I am their Father. And I carry a big stick. And I love them with that big stick. Not hitting them, but shooing away the evil. And so this is in India. And this was just sent to us as a few minute video clip. Just kind of very raw. But it ties in with the raw power that we're talking about. I just want you to see it real quickly. Come, let us see how Jesus changed the lives of these kids and His love in our Frontline Ministries Children Home. We just got this. We didn't ask them to send it. Once they were abandoned, had nothing. They were desperate, faced indifference. But now they have everything with joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm reading that for the children who can't read. This is what they're being introduced to, the love of the Father. There they are. Your heart, your prayers, your money, your donations are shaping these little lives. These are real people in India who are being raised up. And that's Rajahmundry, India. Amen. You know, we need to be people in love to want to care for, to take on a holy responsibility of seeing young lives raised up in another country with great vision way beyond what you see here. So we're beginning something in the last few years. This is the new beginning. I just really encourage you to ask the Lord. How many of you are willing to ask the Lord something? Okay, here's the question. Lord, I have time, I have treasure, I have talents. Can we say those words? Time, treasure, talents. And I'm willing to invest. Okay. Now, if we know what the seasons are that we are in, if we can recognize God's hand in something, go, that's God, then we know how to invest in the season and the particular soil. This is good soil. Frontline is good soil. And many of you invest in Frontline with your time, your treasure, your talents, your abilities. And I just really believe that in this realm, in this time period that we live in, that the Lord's going to expand that. Sometimes we're used to putting our charts up, you know, and saying, okay, these are the number of hours I have, this is what I can do, and this is how much money I have. Rather than going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I would like to have you speak to me and encourage me, because I'm encouraging myself. The Lord says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. But I'm asking you to encourage me to invest, because the Lord's a giver. You're going to hear more and more about the generosity of our Father. He's so generous. And he's saying, if you become like me, because you were made in my image, and you see yourself as my son, you see yourself as my daughter, then you will take on not only my very nature at salvation, but the kingdom of heaven will invade you. And then you will understand greater and greater and greater what true generosity looks like. It's not hard. But if we don't see ourselves truly as our Father's child, and we think of ourselves that way, that when we pray, remember Jesus led his disciples, and they said, how are we supposed to pray? What are we supposed to do? He didn't say, okay, start out, majesty, great one, all-sufficient one. He said, our Father who art in heaven, our Father. And that evokes, the word Father should evoke some emotional response. It's like, I've got a dad. No matter what my earthly dad is like, was like, may be like, I have a dad. We were designed to live in sonship. Sonship or daughtership. It's a generic word. Sonship is not for just guys. Females and males are sons of the Most High, or daughters. But son is the generic term. Our Father God has a mother-father heart. And we know that we're wired differently, and we have different abilities and giftings and things like that. And God made it that way, and that's great. But we are not left out. In the kingdom, there is neither male nor female. It's like, oh, so I can be a son? I'll call myself a daughter. If you think about it, all the guys in here are part of the bride of Christ, right? So that's how we want to think of ourselves. That's right. So it's really important for us to understand and see these things through these eyes so that we're not looking at another project. It's like, oh, it's a project. I have to give to a project. No, it's an opportunity for investing ourselves, our time, our efforts, our talents, our abilities, our giftings, and our treasures. Because our treasures really belong to the Lord anyway, and we are being entrusted. Hold that thought. The Lord just dropped something in my heart. One year we were in Mozambique, and I was just going to teach at one of the Bible schools. I forget which one it was. Which one? Not Pemba. Dondo. Yes, it was in Dondo. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. And I was just getting ready to teach, and I was asking the Lord, so what do you want me to say? And I see all of the Bible students out, you know, in the sandy area and the dirty area and all that, just waiting to come in. I didn't sense a whole lot of joy, like, wow, this is great. I can't wait to hear what this lady has to say. It's like, okay, Lord, I can sense something. And he's saying, let me reveal to you what's really going on. I said, okay, that's good. What's going on? And he says that they need to understand me as Father. They need a revelation of my love as Papa, as Daddy. And as they step into that, and they are understanding who I am to them in terms of Jesus, how Jesus and I relate together. This is the Father talking to me. How Jesus and I relate together because we're one, but he's also my son. As they see more of that, they will understand. As they see, they will be so filled with revelational love that they'll want to step forward into the things they were created to do. It's like, uh-huh. That's the message that I received. What's that mean? What am I supposed to do with that? And I heard the words, and I was led to 1 Corinthians 2, which I have shared before in Frontline. I don't know when or where. Well, I'm here probably. But he led me to 1 Corinthians 2. And he was leading me to speak to them, to teach them, to impart, so that if I'm walking with that revelation, that the impartation from me, anointed, if you would, by the Holy Spirit, would flow, boom, into them, and that they would be undone. How? So they wouldn't just receive a bunch of knowledge, which I think they had, to be frank with you. And this was another time. And I'm not faulting. I love what's going on there. But that particular group at that time on that day, that's what the message was to me. It's like, Lord, so what do you want me to do with that? He says, preach from 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, so I did. And then I was reminded that what the Lord desires to do is reproduce in somebody else who I am. Who do I know I am? Who do I think I am? Somebody special? You betcha, baby. I'm God's favorite. I am. I am anointed, and I'm loved, and I'm amazing because He lives in me. And the more I step into that amazing love that He has released on the inside of me and refusing any type of spirit or atmosphere that would try to steal away that revelation of sonship as a daughter, then I was just going to walk tall and carry a big stick. It's like, oh yeah, this is fun. What does this have to do with Rajamundry Indian kids? Just wait, you'll see. So I'm not going to go through the whole message that he gave me, but I will highlight a couple of things. In 1 Corinthians 2, this is about Paul being totally reliant on the Spirit of God. Paul relied on Holy Spirit. In verse 1, it said that he would come, brethren. He says, I want to come to you, but I'm not going to come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, my own wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, you know what? If we're speaking that verse out to a bunch of people who really don't see themselves as sons and daughters, they go, uh-huh, yep, that's true. That's really true. I've got it in my head, but it's not going anywhere in my heart yet. But the Lord, with this anointed message and anointed messenger, thank you to Him. Okay, I continued on and read, I was with you in weakness and in fear after much trembling. Verse 4, and my message and my preaching, get this, get this in your spirit, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Again, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Oh, won't you come? Won't you do? Won't you be? But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And so that was part of the message. It's like, Lord, but you're telling me that they're kind of walking around not really believing that you are Papa in the highest realm. And he said, I know. That's why I'm having you preach this. I said, but what does that have to do with anything? He says, watch what I'm going to do. So through the anointed message, you think, well, then somebody came up and they laid hands and boop, the eyes open, eyes popped open. You could see the blind now seeing. That did happen, but it happened right after the meeting. There was already an igniting in the spirit because here's what happened. This is what I'm trusting that you will grasp today, because this is the heart that I'm hearing from the Lord today. That the Lord said, we need to be aware of what kingdom we're really walking in and relating to all the time. What kingdom are we all the time? So when the stress comes, when the pressure comes, that we don't snap at somebody and say, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, not really okay. To you. But blah, 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 blah. Oh, because I'm feeling stress. What's that? Oops, I slipped into the wrong kingdom. Sorry. You know what? God loves to allow us to see that there just may be some area of our life that is not kingdomized or in submission to, under submission to, the love of our Father. Oh, well, so what does that mean? That means that we can become bored, we can become dull, we can become like ho-hum, we can even get wrapped up in being part of Iris, or part of Frontline, or part of a great worship experience. We're part of that. We can become dulled if we are not engaging and encountering and recognizing the very one, the very Papa, our very love, our very Jesus, and very Holy Spirit in the midst of whatever we're doing, wherever we're going. And the Lord says, I want those places to be so seen so that my kingdom can invade. So just because you have a desire to do great things for God, and you know God, know Jesus, and you're going to be with him forever, that the kingdom actually begins to invade, invade, invade. It's the kingdom of love. It's the kingdom of love. It's the kingdom of love. And the kingdom of love, when the kingdom of love is really prevalent, then we can recognize where there's true distraction. We can recognize where there's chaos, where God wants to invade with his kingdom of love, his Father's love, because there will be a place in us or others where love has not corralled around and completely taken over. It's like, what? What's that mean? It means that there may be places, pockets in our heart and our life that are just filled with various things that are contrary to the kingdom of love. But, and we can actually pride ourselves in thinking, well, I know all this lingo. I've heard it before. And it's not me. It's that person in the other pew. But I'm telling you that the Lord's always reminding me of where he has been that I haven't seen. And he doesn't say it or do it in a mean way. It's always so graceful. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, I was crying last night, reminding myself of how great he was, how wonderful he was to save my life, but also everything that was involved in that. All of you praying, my family, the doctors, the nurses, even the helicopter ride that I don't remember to save my life. We have pictures, yeah. But the Lord says, so what do you do with all of that? Well, that was a wonderful thing. Why talk about that again? Come on, let's get past that. Hey, that has changed my life. Because anything the enemy would try to steal, kill, and destroy from me, not only do we win, but we go take those spoils. And I want the big return. And I'm going to be stronger and bigger and mightier and warrior-ish more so than ever before. Why? Because that's scriptural and then God promised that he's my dad. And I'm thinking, all right, God. So what are you going to do back to Dondo, Mozambique? What are you going to do with these guys? I saw the walls in the spirit just break down. And some of you how many of you were with me on that trip in here? Just a handful in here? You were, okay, some of you guys were. And that trip, I saw these potential pastors. Some already were pastoring and some were just starting. And they were going to go out into the villages and they were going to meet they were going to see the stuff. And they were going to meet the enemy head on, okay? They didn't want to get cut up in little pieces and put in a box. Whoa! They knew that the standing for their faith somewhere was going to cost them something. And it was so desperate, I believe, on the Father's heart to say, they need to see me as Daddy. They need to see me as Papa. They need to see me. They need to see me. They need to know me. They need to encounter me. Because if not, they're going to have a nice little church and maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. But my raw power won't be showing up. My raw love won't be showing up in the way, in the capacity. As I was reading the scripture or teaching from it, there was such a change, such a shift when I was talking about what the kingdom of God looked like, what the kingdom of God was going to be appearing to be for them, and to invite them into that because of the revelation in my heart also. It's not just reading the book and saying, okay, what do I say to them? I'm going to preach in the Bible school. I better have a good message. It's Iris after all. No, no, no. It's Lord says, you become the message. You become the message. You become the love. You become the invasion of the kingdom. You become. That's the desire of the Father from the beginning. So what happened as a result of that? There was already raw power that was being offered because of the anointing on the message. But even after that, this little boy comes up who was deaf. Right after that. He had been listening, you know, not listening, but hanging around. Maybe with one ear. I think it was one ear he was healed of, wasn't it, Lena? Do anybody remember? Was it two or one? Nobody remembers? Now, see, this is just sad to me, because I'm trying to remember. I know we've seen a lot of miracles, but this is one of the things God was saying. I'm not sad at you. It's like, wow, you showed up. You healed the deaf. There was a deaf kid right on the spot. Was it one or two? Well, that's great that we have so many miracles that we see. That's like, which one was it? But wow, I want to picture that. I want to remember that. I want to say, Lord, I want to steward what you've already released through this ministry, through us. Can you see my heart in that? And God's saying, look at your life. Look at what you've stepped into. Look at the kingdom for yourself. Look what the Lord's already released through you. Do you see yourself as a son? Do you see yourself? Do you carry the spirit of sonship all the time? Or is there a deficit somewhere? It's like, well, what does that mean? That means from the very beginning, let's just briefly take a look at this in Genesis. So flip back to Genesis, if you would, in your Bible. Genesis chapter 2. I was really reminded about this. I thought, well, if I start preaching on this, we're not going to even get to the reception at the wedding. So we didn't go there. But I was just reminded in Genesis chapter 2. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That God had so desired for all of creation. I want to start in one really quickly, okay? One. Let's look at that. If you can open your Bible and read it, Genesis 1. Let's take a look at verse 26, okay? Then God said, let us make man in our image. Not three gods, one God, just showing us that this is the triumphal three-part God. According to our likeness, and let them rule. I want you to capture that word, rule. If we needed raw power, this is the season. So here we go back to the very beginning, Genesis 1:26, and God was speaking to Jesus and Holy Spirit and saying, hey, this is amazing. We are going to create them to let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over all the earth and over all creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Verse 28, God, he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It's like, man, this is cool. So God had this plan even before Adam and Eve showed up. He said, we're going to create man in our image and they're going to rule. This is going to be like perfect sonship. Nothing opposite of that. If you don't have a place, if you don't have a home, if you don't feel that you belong, you're called an orphan. If you don't have parents, right, in this world, called an orphan. And the greatest orphan of all was Lucifer, who was kicked out of heaven. Jesus said, I actually saw him fall as lightning. Boom, booted out of heaven. Woo, gone. And he took a third of other angels with him. Why? Because he rose up against Papa. And he rose up and he said, I don't think so. And he was in that relationship of intimacy. And he was the first orphan because he lost any idea or sense of connection of love or sonship. And so he was the first orphan and he didn't have a place. He was booted. He was literally gone. Boom. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. No place, no home. What do? What's my job now? I'm going to rise up and continue to harass. That is my job. And since I don't really understand this sonship thing, if anybody starts to get even close to the idea of being made in God's image and being initially created to rule and reign with God and in a perfect environment, they get close to that. I've got some business to do. I need to come mess with them more and more and more. It's so important. Okay, flip over with me in Genesis. Where are we? Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3. Verse 8. Now, this is interesting. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the days, Adam and Eve. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? I think he knew. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know, here's a picture of, well, we just saw what the intent was. God said, I wanted to create man in my image. And he said, and they were going to rule and reign. Something happened in between what I read before and what I just read. Adam and Eve were running from God, fearing God, because they had opted to disobey him. He gave them the opportunity to just flow with him in intimacy. Easy. How fun. Just to say, hey, man, not man, hey, dad, I'm just going to rest in you and connect with you, flow with you. And somehow, all of my ability to choose will still be cool. I'll walk in the greatest freedom that you've given, and it will all be wonderful. And I'll be able to take my ownership, to the ownership that you've given me of the area, the domain of the garden, and then that was Adam's domain at the time, but you know, it has since grown. And I will do what you said. I will have authority over everything, over creation, over the land, over every breathing thing. It's like, wow, cool. And the enemy thought, oh, no way. Remember, he was booted out of heaven. So what was his job? To interrupt that process. It's like, I'm not happy here. I don't like this. We got to bring temptation in. And this temptation is going to try to get them to eat of a forbidden tree. And he says, hey, you're going to be like God. Why don't you eat of this tree? And they said, okay. And when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what they did is they gave themselves over by dissing God, saying, I don't think so, Papa. I don't think so, Daddy. I'm choosing to let go of intimacy. I'm choosing to let go of being under your covering, under your protection, and trusting you with everything. I'm going to lose all rule and reign. Because remember, when the enemy was booted out of heaven, he was basically rebelling against God, saying, I don't think so. I don't like this gig. I want to do it my way. You really don't mean what you said. Can you imagine? Creator of the universe. But that's what happened. And that rose up against Papa, God. And so that was the enemy's job then, once he was booted, to try to interrupt anything else that would be good, that would come from a father to a son. And the idea of family, Jesus, Father, and Holy Spirit as one, had the idea of family from the very beginning. Adam and Eve were the first family. And when they were the first family, that makes Adam the first son. First son. You can look in your Bible at Luke, I think it's Luke 3:38, speaks of that Adam was a son. The son of God, it says. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, so this sonship is a really big deal. So the enemy, being booted from heaven as the first orphan out of the family, gone, okay, because of the choice, could not stay in the glory, contended against the glory, contended against everything. This was his job, and he has done it, he thought, pretty well since the beginning. This is amazing, isn't it? And so when the Lord realized that the Lord always realized, but these people ate of the forbidden fruit in the tree, then that is when there was a propensity now for all the destruction to come, where the sickness and the destruction in relationships and the rejection and everything now had a right, because Adam had partnered with the enemy. So now the sonship was dismissed. It's like, well, wait a minute here. And what happened? Fear was able to enter into him as a result of that. And I'm giving you the short version here. There's a lot of, I could talk for hours on this, and maybe someday we'll have a class that gets into more detail here. But just so that you know, fear and shame and all kinds of things just entered right in to Adam, and he was running from God. And what he was doing was running from the presence. Now, this is what I want you to get. He was running from the presence of God. Running. I can't be in the presence. Why? Because this separation, this disconnect between the Father and Adam and Eve allowed the enemy to really propel him into a place of absolute disconnection from the Father and from his presence. And so, as I was saying, what would be the enemy's joy to try to rob from us right now? As the Bible tells us that if we are led by the Spirit of God lives in us, then we are sons of God. And the Lord says, will you walk in that sonship? or will you not? I have a choice? Well, yes. Romans 8 says that I no longer have a spirit of fear because Jesus came to be able to restore that which was stolen from us in the garden. That's why he came. He came to right that whole mess. He said to us that if you want to have intimacy with me, if you want to know me as Papa, and you want the revelation of my heart and my love in you, then you need to see that I love you so much that I desire you as my son, as my daughter. I desire that I'm going to send my own son, see him sacrificed for your sake, so you can come back into the relationship that was originally released between you and I, that I started at the very beginning. And if we don't have an understanding of that very beginning, we don't see the source of fear, shame, lack, moving away from Father, running from the presence of God, not being aware when his presence really is increasing, and just maybe participating in the chaos or even being part of the chaos. You know, when the presence of God is evident, let's say in a corporate setting, and there's, and it's not holy chaos, but there's chaos in the spirit, there's usually a love deficit in the room, in people. Because the Lord works through people, but so does the enemy. And so the love deficit in people will keep us from even noticing and caring and wondering. We might be encouraged, focus. Yes, okay, focus. Okay, I'm focusing on the presence. But it'll be something that we will have to move toward. Okay, this is what I need to do. Rather than, oh my gosh, he's here. I see you. I feel you. Oh my gosh. He created us to connect with him that intimately, that closely. When Jesus was ready to leave this earth, he said, you know, I'm going to send another helper to you. Don't worry. I'll never leave you as orphans. Orphans. That's the word again. Orphan. I won't leave you as orphan because you belong to me. You belong to me. And I will never leave you or forsake you. Ever. Because all authority has been given to me. Remember in Matthew 28? All authority has been given under heaven to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the family name, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And you know what? We forget that Jesus says, I have been given all authority. You see, when this authority that Adam was released, given, was taken back, Jesus said, I'm going to do something about that. When we celebrate Jesus coming to this earth, you know, in Bethlehem and Christmas in a couple of weeks, we need to be thinking about these things. Not just Jesus came, I know, and he's coming again, oh yes, but we need to also remember the beginnings of why he came. Why? To restore us into the family. And he says, I want you to see yourself as part of my family. And when you're in a family, then you're in a place that's safe and secure. You're surrounded by love, unconditional love, and protection and provision, and everything is there. Everything. And you step in and you can trust. Now, if you came or are in a family where that wasn't the case, the Lord says, okay, maybe you have needed a new daddy. Not that you don't love or care for or have your earthly daddy, but you need to be in the family. We need to be in the family of God. And so if we see our daddy as daddy, and with the understanding of who he really is and how he reveals himself, then we are going to walk and operate in this peace. Like, oh, this is great. And we will be drawn into his presence. We will want to take his presence wherever we go. We want to carry his glory. The glory of God was released in the garden. It all started in the garden. And the very glory of God was for us to be able to understand, to entertain, to be part of, and to absolutely be captured by the glory and the presence of God. And that involved power. Remember when I first started, I was saying if we're ever were in a season where we need God's raw power, it's now. The Lord says, you need to know my power. So we don't just go, okay, fine. I need it. Okay, that's what I need to do. I heard PMP say I need power. So how do I get power? How do I get power? Lord says, become a lover. Lay down. Find out. Say, oh, Papa, if there's any love deficit in me, oh, boy, this is great. If there's any orphan thinking in me, even though I'm not an orphan, I belong in the family of God. I'm a son of the Most High God. But my life isn't showing that. My feelings aren't showing that. My actions aren't showing that. My attitudes maybe aren't showing that. This is how you are able to say, God, you are such a generous God. I'm willing to lay down everything, all my finances, everything. And I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm just going to listen to you. What do you want me to do? Give it all away. I didn't hear that at all. I just didn't even hear that. What do you really want me to do? I'm telling you, if you take a look at the season that we're in and you say, wow, we've got an international children's home. Woohoo! You know, we're dealing with kids in the sex trade, getting delivered out of the sex trade in Southeast Asia. And we're going into Thailand and Cambodia and Bhutan and Nepal. This is great. Wow, God. And we're building a center also in northern Ghana. You're amazing. Thanks, God. But the Lord's saying, wait a minute. This season is so much bigger than maybe you're understanding. But with orphan thinking, you won't see. We'll listen, we'll watch a video and go, oh, yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. Oh my gosh, that's so cute. Look at those kids. But we won't be moved, driven in our heart. We need to walk in everything God's given us, and there will be a greater release of the authority that was reestablished and given back. Because of Jesus, because of him coming and saying, I'm laying down my life. This is all what the cross is about. He says, I'm laying down my life because it was stolen away. Adam was known as the first Adam, and Jesus is known as the second Adam because it all started in the garden in a perfect place. That's what these little children need to hear in kingdom class, and I'm trusting they are. Okay? It was perfect. It was wonderful. There was intimacy. The glory was there. There was no sin, sickness, or pain. And something got messed up and got interrupted, and we became the recipients of this other nature. And the Lord says, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to send my son, and he's going to right that mess. Now walk in it and carry it. Walk as a son. Walk as a daughter. Oh, I'm just kind of depressed this week. Why? Because you don't recognize who you are. That's why. It's not your circumstances. Truly. And he does care. He does have compassion. But he's saying, hey, if there's any orphan thinking in you, you've connected somehow, I don't know, as a person who's initiating or even as one who's on the receiving end of the fear and the shame and the control and all the things that resonate around the ultimate orphan and his cohorts. The Lord says, wait, wow. I need a revelation in my heart of the spirit of sonship. That's what I need. I have been adopted. I've been engrafted in. Jesus came to write that for me. He took everything upon himself so that I could be freed from that curse. And that curse was so strong that I couldn't do it myself. You know, if we have deception in our lives at all, we can't release ourselves. Ha! Try it. It doesn't work. And if you're deceived and someone goes, you're deceived, and you're going, oh yeah, right, man. I love it when someone comes to me and says, you know, I don't understand what I was thinking before. It's like, whoa, God, you showed up. You're moving. You're releasing that person from the chain. How? And there's authority. There's authority released. There's gifting released. There's power released. Raw power is being released. Isn't that so cool? The Lord says, you want to see my power? You want to see my glory? Recognize what I'm saying and what I'm doing right now. If there's anything in here, this is going to change. I want a revelation. Show me, Lord God. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Show me who you are, what you've done, what you've accomplished, and I'm going to step into who I am, and it's going to be real, and it's going to be lasting, and it's going to be fruit that remains. Ho! Mmm. Ho! Ho! That's a good word. Hey, yes, Lord. Oh, boy. Luke 10:19. I don't want to get it. I can quote this one, but boy, I just want to, let's read it. I can do a better job here. Luke 10:19, let's look at it. How are we going to make disciples of all nations if we don't recognize and walk in our sonship? Come on. Come on. Take a look at Luke 10:19. You guys have been hearing this for 15 years. But it is one of my favorites. Behold, I have given you authority. Oh, back it up, verse 18. I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's how powerless he is. Ho! I saw him fall like boom! Sometimes we, you know, we're playing this boxing match where it's, oh, I don't want any demons around me. Okay, I gotta fight them off. And the Lord's saying, excuse me. Do you recognize his place as compared to yours? Did you read the book? Did you read Genesis? Yay. Behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing will harm you or injure you. And you know, I was reading this in a couple different versions the other day. And do you know when it talks about the authority being released, it's the authority over our physical being, over our emotions, over our spiritual life, over our mental capacities. It's the authority over everything. This is not just some lame authority. This is major authority. This is victory. This is the way the Lord says that we can live from God's kingdom to earth. He says, you want to live in that? Or are you going to wallow? Don't wallow. Because you aren't designed to wallow. Well, this is how I feel. I know, but I've given you authority. If you choose not to walk in that authority, that's what you choose. But I have still given you authority. Oh, hey, it's true. It is so true. But this is how I feel. I know, but this is what the Word says. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do with what we've heard? It's so true. I have to tell you, when I was a new believer, This verse jumped out at me, and I didn't know what to do with it. This is the truth. It's like, I don't understand this, but it's gripping my heart. Somebody who is giving this message, I can still see it. This person giving this to me a long time ago, I can still see it. And I remember being wrecked to the core, but I still didn't understand. I didn't understand it. But it was like, this is important. Pay attention, MP. This is it. You've got to get this. This is so important. And then he showed me, gave me revelation later, but that's where the power came, because the person who was delivering the message got it. Oh, and there was so much power. It was an anointed message. And this is the verse that I'm just going to read to you. You can look in your Bibles, Luke 7:8-10. Mark it down. Mark it down. Luke 7:8-10. I'll still read it to you. This is about a centurion. This is the centurion who wanted his servant healed. And he was walking with Jesus, or he heard about Jesus, and he said, for I am also a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. He marveled. I looked it up in another version. And it says, taken aback. Jesus was taken aback. He says, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust for anyone in Israel, the very people who are supposed to know about God and how he works. Isn't that cool? So basically, the Lord was saying here in Luke 7:8-10, that Jesus has said, I marveled and I turned and I said to the crowd, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. That summed it up for me. That was the beginning of my faith walk. And I thought, okay, God, if Jesus marveled at this guy, I need to know what this means. I need to really understand it. What does it mean? What does it mean to be placed in submission? To be in submission. Let me tell it to you real easily, because we can get freaked out by this word. Adam understood it initially. Okay? Adam... He understood the word that wasn't even out yet at the time, because he's so connected as a son. So connected. And he leaned into Dad and simply trusted Dad until he fell prey to that temptation. He was engaged in intimacy, engaged in the presence of God. The glory of God surrounded him and his world and his life with Eve in every place. And he was to rule and reign over everything that God gave. Because that's what sons do. They share in the inheritance. Isn't that amazing? And this guy understood it. This centurion. He said, hey, you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word and he'll be healed, Jesus, okay? That sounds good to me. And he says, because I'm a man under authority. That's the key right there. I'm a man under authority. I understand what submission to love is. I understand what submission to your presence is. I understand what my role and who I am, what I was created to do. It goes way beyond just saying, we need to know our identity. Adam had his identity figured out. And then he messed it up. Yes, he did. And so now we're in the place of going, okay, what is my identity? Why do I feel afraid? Why do I feel this? Why do I feel that? Why do I worry about my job? Why do I worry about, can I be a good father? Do I spend enough time with my kids? Do I do this? Do I do that? Some of this is about our identity of not recognizing in our identity, not recognizing that we truly are sons of the Most High God. And I'm telling you, that's what Paul knew, and that's what he was able to release. And that's why he could preach only Christ crucified. That's why he understood. He didn't worry about how good were his words, how not good were his words. He says, if I'm contained in the understanding of what happened with Jesus Christ at the cross, and I go back to that and I see who I am in that, the raw power will be released, simple as that. What do you think about that? It's a good word. There's my glasses over here. I think we're in a season of reversal. The Lord is saying, are you ready to rule and reign? I hear this cliche all over the internet, everywhere I go. We're training for reigning. Okay, and that's true. We're being trained to reign. But the Lord is saying, you can reign right now. There's reigning that goes on right now. Remember that the natural reign falls on the just and the unjust. The Lord says that that's what I do. That's what my heart is. I'm a blesser. I'm a blesser. I'm a blesser. As a son, you receive blessing. You contend for the blessings of the kingdom. You live in the land of blessing. And you release blessing. That's your life. That's your job description. That's it. Wow, and there's power in that. Then you can walk in and say, I want that job in Jesus' name, and you get it. Because you're a son in the house, or a daughter in the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to read another verse and then close in prayer here. This is so good. This is good, good word. Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent men take it by force. Now, that is one of my favorite verses, even though I couldn't find it a few times. Like, where is that? I know what that is, you know. It's like, but this is one of my favorite verses because the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force means that as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Let me read that again, because that doesn't sound like just laying down in the sweet by and hope it happens. No. Okay, this is the amplified version of that verse. Can I read that again for you? Oh, I love it. I love intensity, kingdom intensity. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force, which means as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom being sought with the most ardent zeal. No lullabies, no sleepy times, no distractions, ardent, intense zeal, intense exertion. The Lord is saying, is it important to you? How important is the kingdom of God? What will you do? What will you be willing to offer to the Lord? What will you be willing to step into to say, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. I want to see you. I want to know your glory. I want to know your power. I want to see those dreams and visions. I want to have them. I want everything the kingdom of God has been released for me to understand and to walk in. And that is capital L-O-V-E. And God's going to teach us what love looks like because that's the kingdom. But these are not just little phrases to go, wasn't that a nice sermon? Did you like that? Could you feel Holy Ghost goosebumps? Hey, I'm just not about that. And the Lord is saying, I believe now, this is the time. If we have orphan areas in our heart. He wants to show us and keep showing us. You know, why don't we want to come into something where the presence of God is and we're hanging out and doing great things? Why? There's probably some orphan thinking going on. Oh, that's what an orphan would say, not as a true son or daughter. Where's that coming from and why? I don't want to hear that stuff. That was from 10 years ago in Frontline, and now we're talking about that again? Yeah. God is saying these types of things are hidden. There are subtleties for the orphan thinking. It is subtle. Do you think the enemy is going to be so direct? Come on. Subtle. Subtle, Beth. Subtle. Okay? For all of us, subtle. But not to God. He's saying, I want to make it not so subtle. Well, I'm not doing bad things. It's not about that. We are here in church. That's nice. You could be out shooting up somewhere else, right? But you're here in church. Wonderful. Glad you're here. The Lord says, we don't want anything of our own thinking. Remember what Paul said. No persuasive word, aka no man's thinking. Oh, I found something new last night. I've never seen this before. I wanted to tell you this really quick. I just never saw it. It just jumped right out. It's the Bible. It's like, oh my gosh. And maybe you've seen it and I'm slow to catch it. But you know, there's different passages, you know, that talk about the temptations of Jesus. Okay. And we always refer to Luke and we know that he went into the desert, full of the Spirit of God and came out in the power. Remember that? Oh yeah. We got that down and, oh, I know that's right. In Luke chapter 4. Woohoo. And it's true. And it's great. Came out with power. Why? Because of the sonship between the Father and the Son. And yes, he stood up against the orphan. And he said, no, 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 no. It wasn't just because he was praying and fasting. He stood up and he said, I am not an orphan and I will not contend with you. I am a son of the Most High God. And that's why he came out in the power of the Spirit. Read it. How? Oh, wow, that's good. But what I found out, I didn't think about this one. I was just flipping through and I was going over to Matthew. And I was looking in Matthew chapter 3, looking at the temptation of Jesus again. And I thought, oh, that's really fun. I want to read about it over here again. I've read it before. It's not new. But what really jumped out to me, maybe it'll bless you, was that after Jesus was tried, if you would, to see, are you really a son? Are you really a son? Remember, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he was tested. This is my son. He was baptized. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he was baptized with that and then tested. Are you really a son? How much are you a son? I'm going to give it all the devil's got. All the devil has, I'm going to throw on you. What are you going to do with it? I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm a son! How? And I know who I am. I'm walking in my identity. And it comes with the power. Now in Matthew, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that the power was released. What it says is, I love it. The first words in red say, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. First words out of Jesus' mouth. The verse before that or with that says, in Matthew it says, and now, get this, now Jesus started his public ministry. After the testing, after the trying in the area of sonship. And then he says, he speaks, the red words just jumped out and I went, oh, I never saw that in order. As comparing it to the other scripture. That was from Holy Spirit for you, for me first. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. The kingdom of God is at hand. Isn't that so amazing? That's amazing. Jesus, that's the first thing that he was so filled with when he came out in the power. The first words out of his mouth that are recorded. Repent, for the kingdom of God is nearer at hand. Oh, wow. I better know what that means. Because here's Jesus going in full and coming out in power. That is powerful, isn't it? I think he understood. Of course he understood, the centurion, you know? And that's why he marveled, going, oh, he gets it. I've not seen any faith in all of Israel like that dude. Is that what you want? Is that who you want? Is that who your Jesus is to you? The Lord is saying, hey, I want to reveal. My heart is Papa Daddy to you. Because when Jesus said, I will reveal the Father to whom I will reveal. That's because we're one. Jesus' job was to come and reveal the Father. The Father's heart, the Father's love, which kicks out, boom, any orphan spirit, any orphan thinking. It's not one that you cast off. It's one that you displace. It's one that you remove. It's one that you exchange and go, no, I want the love of my Father. And that orphan is going, ah! That's where rebellion hides. That's where religion hides. Hear me. Let me say it again. That's where rebellion hides. That's where religion hides. Underneath the guise of orphan. You focus group leaders. Focus people. You gotta get that. Why? You gotta teach that to other people. You can't teach who you're not. How? Frontline women. Mother's rough, whatever that thing is called. Okay, you know the group. Whatever it is, any group, this is the message, and this is what we need to understand and impart, and we can't impart who we are not. You can't just stand up and say, oh, I learned this in a message, it's really good, so get it. Don't even open your mouth until you feel like you're moving a little bit. I'm telling you. Oh, this is wonderful, aren't you happy?
Yeah.
This is wonderful. Let's worship. Let's come up and say, okay, Papa, I would like to meet you in this place. I am amazed at who you are and what you've done. And you've only heard a smattering of it. Okay? There's no room for jealousy in this house. There's no room for division in this house. There's no room for complaining in this house. There's no room for anything because that's orphan thinking, orphan spirit. And if you have that, get rid of it. That's what he speaks to me, and I say, okay, more and more. Amen? And then we're going to see the masses. Because when they come in to a place where this is the revelation, this truly is a place of Father's love, not just a loving group that loves each other, we're going to see some raw power increase. Amen? Oh. Well, let's pray. And can we have, you know, a song or something? That would be good. You know, when you're making decisions in your life, decisions, what should I do? Where should I go? How should I do it? Well, God has to tell me what to do. Oh, please. That is so orphan thinking. Oh, boy. Don't get mad at me. It's so true. The Lord is saying, if you take your place as a son or a daughter, you're going to understand what I'm really saying, and you're going to understand how we partner and co-labor together. You will see that. You'll be free to dream with me. You can't dream with God if you've got orphan thinking. Sometimes we just give God a bad rap and say, you know what? As soon as he speaks to me and tells me what to do, then I'll move. It's like, oh, I think we have some problems, Houston. So, and I'm not being, you know, if you're thinking that way, I'm just letting you know God's putting the light bulb on, going, ah, no fear in love. His perfect love casts out all fear. But I think some of us may have heard that verse, but still we walk with orphan tendencies in the way that we talk to people, in the way that we approach people, you know? Because many times if there's fear, we'll have outbursts of anger or lack of control. It's like, oh, well, where'd that come from? Oh, that's a good question to ask the Lord. He's not mad if we have outbursts of anger or we say something because we're nervous or this or that, but he's saying, hey, maybe there's more orphan thinking than you realize. Because I so want you to get what I've already released to you. More and more and more. And it'll be revelatory. It will grow. And I'm trying to pack a whole lot in today. And we're going a little, I don't even know what time it is, don't tell me. But I hope this has been a blessing because we're going to see the Lord dislodge and displace things on the inside of us. Where the fear and the shame really have thought that they have a place to stay because of the orphan agreement. Maybe not even realizing. Lord says, this is not who you are. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Let's just meet with our daddy right now. Wow. We just love you so much in this house, Papa. And how we so desire right now to not permit the orphan of all orphans to have any realm in our world, in our life. And how we desire to have a revelation of sonship. How we desire to have that revelation of love that will so grow and bring the freedom where no fear of man can stay. No fear of rejection can stay. No fear of control or control can stay. Because we're stepping in today, Lord God. You are the author and finisher of our faith. And look who you are. Look what you've done. I am a child of yours. I list myself as one. That yes, I'm in your army, but I'm your laid down child. And you have a great inheritance for me. Wow. Hey. I believe the Lord's taking us into a place right now where He's going to go right now into the deepest of core parts that we have. And I know a word that especially movers and shakers like people in frontline are, they don't like the word performance. But I'm telling you, without a revelation of the vastness and the greatness of our Papa all the time in what we do, we can venture into that and not even realize it. And even say, oh, I don't want to go there, so we step back and then we don't do anything. It's just such a mix-up. It's a plan from the enemy. And the Lord wants us to see that everything flows from the throne to us. Let Him examine you today. Search us, O God, today. And show us, Lord. Show us where there may be some orphan thinking that rises up. And you're so gracious, Father, to be able to show us that this is the pattern. Some of us, I believe, have taken steps of being released from things that have been patterns that we didn't really enjoy. And now some of those are surfacing again. Then the Lord is just saying, I'm taking you deeper into the exposure of what orphan thinking really can look like, that still may be existent. And it may show in other realms, it may show in other places. And that's okay. Because the exchange of love that God wants to bring today is absolutely amazing. To dislodge and displace out of us anything that would hinder us from seeing ourselves and walking in the fullness of sonship. The fullness today. That would be a goal for us today. Yes, Lord. So as we sing As I Love You, as we sing this up front, just inviting you to come. If there's something that the Lord is speaking to you about and said, this is me, I'm showing up. Come. I'll just agree with you. Just for a taste of deeper love, a place where there might be a need for additional release of Father's love, Father's heart, in the places that we don't see, but He's revealing. There's an exchange that's needed. And the Lord wants to infuse us that so that we have an encounter with the Father. Encounter with the Father. There's going to be a change for each one of us, I believe, today to step into this. I didn't know how this would go. And there was a big attempt for this not to go at all. So I just thank the Lord for your lives. Come. If you feel that God is speaking to you, come. Come. And let Him be God and do in you what only He can do. I'll agree with you. Just come up. I'm telling you, some of us are stepping into some areas of harshness and control and things like that, that there's no kingdom in it, no matter how good the things are that we're doing. The Lord is saying, I'm showing you where that orphan thinks he has a right to live. Oh, Rabashaka. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing out to Him, and I will come and pray over you and agree with you. Let's just sing it out. Lord, the great exchange to take place today, that there would be a release today, oh God. That we'd be way beyond whatever we could understand, Lord God, so that we would see in who you are as our Father, irregardless of a natural father or mother, irregardless of our circumstances. We love you. We want a release of your Father's heart and Father's love in this place, in this house. Let's sing out to him.